Welcome to the Happy, Healthy, Strong podcast. Our goal is to equip you with the knowledge and tools you need to make lasting changes in your health. Society has trained us to think that Western medicine is the answer to long-term health, but this approach only treats symptoms and never addresses the root cause. Without a new approach, our community will experience unnecessary sickness and suffering. We teach the functional health model to educate and empower listeners on their journey to a happier, healthier, and stronger life. My name is Paige, and I'm a certified holistic health coach. I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Alex Arguello, Doctor of Chiropractic and Functional Health Practitioner. Join us as we unpack some of the most pressing health challenges facing our community today. Welcome back to the Happy, Healthy, Strong podcast. Today we're going to be continuing to go through the foods in the Restoring Human Diet list, and today's topic is dairy.
Yeah.
First of all, my voice might sound a little croaky. I am still recovering from COVID, which I had over 2 weeks ago. I have a lingering cough and like shortness of breath and just general croakiness. So, and it was late night last night. Yeah. At a church party, and it's an early morning right now.
Yeah. So, I know we haven't been able to get the episodes out as
right,
much and as quickly as we would like,
yes.
But we are trying. Both of us were at a church get together last night till late, and then up at 5 a.m. to get here to do this.
Mm-hmm. So that's we're dedicated.
That's right. We're trying our best. That's why we don't have a workout to talk about, because
yes.
We are here before the workout happens. Mm-hmm. But for me, I mean, you mentioned your health stuff on Thanksgiving Day. I got my wife to come to work out that morning,
yeah,
but she didn't really want to do it. So we were a little late that day, actually 20 minutes late. That's more than a little late. But by that time, the two other people that were there going to do it, they were ready to turn the music on and go.
Right.
So they waited for us, so we did a quick warm-up, and then it was already a pretty crazy workout.
Mm.
The workout was supposed to be a partner workout, and there was so within the CrossFit world, there's these workouts that are called benchmark workouts.
Yep.
And most of them are named after women, so there's Fran is the most popular one, and mm-hmm. then there's a Grace and an Isabel and those type of things. Well, anyway, Grace and Isabel were part of this workout. So you did Isabel together, and then you did Grace together. Isabel is a barbell workout, so is Grace. It's just a different movement. One is a snatch, and the other one's a clean and jerk. And then in the middle of those two, you did another girl workout that was called Angie. And Angie is 100 pull-ups, 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and 100 air squats.
You're making me glad I didn't come on Thanksgiving.
So myself and the other guy were going to split that, so it would have been 50 of
oh, okay.
It would have been 15 of each of the, you know, the snatches and clean and jerks, and 50 of each of the movements. Probably wouldn't have been that big of a deal. But because Emily was there and the other man was there, I was like, hey, let's try to do it all together as a foursome.
Mm-hmm.
But Jarek was like, nah, we won't do that. Let's just partner it. And how he wanted to partner it, he wanted to like upscale it and do, instead of push-ups, he wanted to do handstand push-ups. Instead of pull-ups, he wanted to do chest to bar. And for whatever reason, I think it was because I was late and in a hurry, I was just like, nah, I don't want to do that. Let's just do it all together, but do it synchro. So synchro means you do every movement and you have to be in unison doing these movements. So every clean and jerk, we had to be in unison. Every pull-up, we had to be in unison.
Wow.
For some reason, I thought that was a great idea, and not realizing that I was going to be doing 30 of each of those barbell movements and then 100 of each of those reps.
Yeah.
So the 100 pull-ups in a row destroyed me. So you do 100 pull-ups and then you do 100 push-ups, and I was super sore.
Yeah.
Super sore. And when I do 100 pull-ups in a row, I mean, I can't do 100 pull-ups in a row without stopping, but 100 pull-ups before I move on to the next, my arms lock up, so where I can't extend them. So I was like, they were flexed at almost 90 degrees for a couple days.
Oh my goodness.
But so the whole point of really me talking about this, I have a autoimmunity, so called ulcerative colitis, and I was diagnosed when I was 23. Really got healthy when I got to Palmer, so about 26 years old is when I got healthy. So from diagnosis to what I would say, I used to tell people I was completely healed of it because I didn't really understand autoimmunity. Mm-hmm. But my symptoms were completely gone, right? Off all my medications, didn't need surgery, all those things. And from that day until now, I've been in what they would consider remission, like symptom-free, unless I do, you know, have a terrible diet, or the other big thing is stressful events. So if I'm super overwhelmed, have a bunch of stress, then my symptoms tend to come back. Well, one of my symptoms, of course, just digestive stuff would be symptoms. But another symptom that I can have is, so there's a part of your eye called the uvea or your iris, and that can get really inflamed. So there's just a high correlation between that and people with ulcerative colitis. So if I eat really, really bad for an extended period of time, or if I have some sort of big stressful event, my uvea, my eye will get super inflamed, and I'll just have a completely bloodshot eye, where those of you that are old enough, I look like the Terminator. So completely bloodshot eye. So that happened to me for a couple of days, and it's still pretty red.
Yeah.
But so then I usually just tell people now when they ask me, hey, did you have pink eye? I'm like, nah, I just ate really bad over Thanksgiving, and this happens to me. It's easier to explain than stress can happen. But for the podcast purposes, anything that is stressful for you, chemical, physical, emotional, all that stuff can set off symptoms if you have any sort of, you know, autoimmunity or inflammatory condition. So I'm sure, I mean, I didn't eat great over Thanksgiving. I'm sure that contributed to it as well. But what I'm thinking, it was the stress of being in so much pain with my arms and the stress of, okay, I can't even do normal stuff. And then I started to hurt my back. So I haven't actually worked out since that day. So
really?
I'm going on. Today, I doubt I will work out because my back is still bothering me a little bit. I'll probably get in there and try to do something. But yeah, this will be the ninth day that I haven't worked
that's
out
like
in a row.
Probably a record for a long time.
Yes.
Well, goodness gracious. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So that's where we're at, coming in to tell you how to be healthy.
Yeah. Please listen to us.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I think I'm 40 years old, and I, most of the time I know that I am prone to doing, if I do something, I'm going to injure myself. But sometimes I still think I'm 18 and do pretty dumb stuff in the gym.
That's funny.
So, yeah, I'll never do something. Well,
you learned
I've
your
done
lesson.
This before, and I said I'll never do something like this again, and I obviously just did it. But my hope is it'll at least be years before
right,
something
give it
like
another
this
10 years.
Again.
Yeah.
Okay. All that.
Yes.
So hopefully you got through all that and you're still with us. But we're going to talk about dairy today.
Dairy, I think, is interesting because it can be so healthy, as I'm sure we're going to talk about, but then a lot of people can't handle it. And it's one of the most common things that, like, you've put in red on people's restoring human diet. So I am very interested to hear what we have to say just because of that kind of dichotomy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's the most important thing to say about dairy is because we, you know, you can, in this whole world of helping people that are struggling with some type of a sickness that don't want to use, again, traditional medicine to get better, is you have to unfortunately find things that they're doing to cut out so that the body can heal, right? But everything that we would teach still comes back to give the body what it needs, stay away from what it doesn't. So part of giving the body what it needs is there's nutrients in food, and those nutrients are primarily found in real food. So if we can eat real food most of the time, then we should be giving our body what it needs from a diet perspective to in order to be healthy. So dairy is a real food. It's something that people have been taking in for thousands of years, and really hasn't become a problem until pretty recent, and I'll go through kind of some of the history there. But yeah, it's if there was no people with autoimmunity, if there was no significant inflammatory conditions, if there was no just other stuff that's happened, I mean, you get into the whole lactose intolerant stuff. If none of that happened, then dairy would be one of the healthiest foods that there is. Mm. I wish everybody could have it.
Right.
You know? Because not only have people been having it for thousands of years, if you look at just healthy civilizations, they typically, all of them have, you know, the whole blue zone thing of people living to 100 years old and all that stuff. They have some form of dairy. And actually, most of them have some form of fermented dairy, which if you are used to, if you grew up drinking milk, right, there was a date that you always looked at the date before you drank milk, right? And
right.
if it was past that date, you knew it
Give
was
going
to be spoiled.
Test, yeah.
And that's one of the worst things in the world when you drink spoiled milk.
Mm.
But I say spoiled milk because that's important because other people say, well, that's sour milk. Well, sour milk, people have been drinking for thousands of years, and they do it intentionally. They let the milk sour so that they can get good bacteria and just all the benefits from it. But it wasn't until we started doing all of these things that we'll talk about, homogenization, pasteurization, all that stuff, that now milk doesn't really sour anymore. It spoils. And that's something that you don't want, of course, be drinking.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so if we think about protein content, just good quality bioavailable protein, what I mean by bioavailable is your body absorbs it really well. So there's this synergy between what your body wants, knows how to digest, knows how to assimilate, knows how to actually turn, go from a nutrient into your cells. That's bioavailability. So milk has just bioavailable protein. It's got a ton of what are called enzymes, helps you break down itself. So it has a lot of good fat-soluble vitamins in it, and you need enzymes in order to break down stuff so that you can absorb those fat-soluble vitamins. So just maybe you know them as food enzymes. So those are important, and those, a lot of that is in milk. Of course, I just mentioned fat-soluble vitamins, so A, D, E, and K, primarily vitamin D and vitamin K. It's one of the only sources. We talked about vitamin K2 a couple podcasts ago, probably with the organ meats.
Mm-hmm.
And dairy is really one of the only things that you can take in to get vitamin K2. And that was the whole Weston A. Price thing of finding a vitamin that had never been discovered before. And he thought it was the primary reason why these people were so healthy. So, yeah, there's that. And then something that very recent, probably within the last 40 years, I would say, is just our understanding of bacteria being important to take in our diet. That's the whole fermented food thing. Prior to about 40 years ago, medicine used to think that if we were completely sterile, that's we would be healthy, meaning we could just wipe out all bacteria in the world and we would be healthy. Well, now we understand that there's good bacteria versus bad bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And milk just has a ton of what's called lactobacillus bacteria. Or probiotics, you know, most people know them as. So all that stuff is found in this dairy product. And then you think about what people throughout history have been able to do with dairy, right? They're not just drinking the milk from the cow or whatever animal it is. They turned it into cheese. They turned it into yogurt. They turned it into kefir,
mm-hmm.
right? They turned it into all of these things, heavy cream. There's just so many uses for dairy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mention ice cream, but I could mention ice cream.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, yeah, I mean, dairy is just an amazing food. Like I said, I wish everybody could take in.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm talking to somebody, most of the time I'm going to start with some type of elimination type diet. So dairy is just going to be off anyway. But after probably 30 days or so, I want them to start looking at, hey, what can we add back in? And my hope is that they've never noticed that they have some sort of issue with dairy so that they could get it back into their
mm-hmm.
into their diet. Unfortunately, that's not typically the case. Most people notice that they have an issue with dairy. So, yeah, that's what we'll probably talk about next is what are the issues,
right.
why these things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
I have 5 problems that I can think of. But there's probably more that we'll get to. The first problem is, so if you think about, I mentioned thousands of years, people have been taking in dairy products, so getting milk from primarily cows and using them to make all of those different types of food products. Up in the 19th century, when people really started to move away from rural areas and get more condensed into a city and more urban areas, What happened there is people got away from utilizing the cow the way that typical, you know, farmers would use it. So they just kind of got away from ingesting dairy products as much as people were doing. But then because the population started to grow within the city, the demand for dairy also started to increase. So now there's less farmers and there's more people who, quote-unquote, need it
mm-hmm.
and want milk. So what they had to do is they had to figure out how to increase the yield for the dairy and increase the amount of the size of the cows. Mm. So there's a couple of ways to increase the size of the cow. Is you can change their diet, just like there's a couple of ways to change the size of human beings, right? You can change their diet.
Yeah.
And then you can give them antibiotics and hormones and those type of things to increase the size of their of the cow. So you have bigger cows now, and that's going to produce bigger yields, so there's more dairy. So that solved the problem of needing dairy for the population. But anytime you're going to change a diet, that's not just going to change the size of the cow and only be give you a positive. There's also going to be negatives that come with that. And the primary negative thing is they went from cows eating grass or just kind of roughage out in the pasture to feeding it grains, you know, primarily soy and corn.
Yep.
Now, I've had plenty of people tell me, well, especially if they're farmers in Iowa, because it's a big deal in Iowa, of course, in Wisconsin, if, you know, there's not really actually been studies that have been shown that it has a negative effect of feeding cows grains versus grass, which is also not true. I mean, there's definitely studies that show that. But just think about the principle. Like, if a cow's for thousands of years has been eating something, and then you completely switch its diet to something else, just maybe because on the surface you can't see something negative happen to the cow, which is, I would also say, not true, doesn't mean that something negative isn't happening.
Right.
And that primarily is happening with the whole bacteria thing. So when you change something's diet, and this includes us, the bacteria, or what's called the microbiome, is going to change every time. Now, you would hope that it's not a bad change, but with the cows, absolutely that was the case. It was a bad change. So the grain diet changed all the bacterial environment of the cow's gut, also changed the pH of the gut, so how acidic the gut was. So what that led to is less nutritious milk. So although you got now more milk, less nutrient-dense milk, but also it made the cows more prone to get sick with bacterial infections.
Yep.
So grass-fed cows, roughage, pasture-raised cows had a lot of good bacteria, were able to keep bad bacteria, something like E. coli, at bay because there's this battle between good and bad. Now you get rid of that good bacteria with the new diet and the less acidic environment. So cows' stomach acid and stuff is different, all that. Now you get these cows who are getting sick more often. Well, if a cow is getting sick with bacterial infections more often, of course we have an answer to that, which is
antibiotics.
Just give it the cow antibiotics, mm-hmm. right? So there's, I think the most recent number that I've read is about 52 different antibiotics can be found in conventionally raised dairy products.
Oh, goodness.
So there's just all of these different antibiotics, because what happens with antibiotics is you use it and then the bacterial strain get resistant to it, so then you have to figure out different antibiotics to kill the bacteria. So that's just happened over and over and over again. So now we have a problem of less nutrient-dense milk. You know, the cows are not as healthy because they're not being fed the proper diet. And then now you're giving them, because they're sick, you're giving them antibiotics, which is also going to be a problem, because antibiotic, when you eat something that's full of antibiotics, just like you, not as much, but just like you take in an antibiotic, it's also going to negatively affect your microbiome, right? So that was probably the two bigger problems of cows getting sick and then needing antibiotics to try to not be as sick. I mean, they're still going to be sick, right? Now they're fatter, they're moving less, so they're fatter, they're fed different stuff, so they're fatter, they're given antibiotics and hormones, so they're fatter, all to just try to produce more milk because there's more people that need it. Mm-hmm. So we never actually look at the quality of what we're giving these people, we just need the quantity of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So cows not fed what they're supposed to be fed, now it's a cow that has antibiotics. Because there is all this bad bacteria that still gets passed on from the cow in the milk, even though the cow has antibiotics, that could get passed on to the milk that we drink. So then the whole what's called pasteurization process started to happen. Pasteurization is just heating up the milk really, really high so that it kills bacteria. Well, again, it's going to kill bad bacteria, which is great. People potentially won't get sick, but it's also killing any of the good bacteria that I talked about, all of that you know, the stuff that people have been doing for thousands of years, like purposely letting it ferment to increase the bacterial content, all of that is gone in the conventional dairy that we take in because of the pasteurization process. Not only that, when you heat stuff up like that, it denatures nutrients, primarily the protein. So protein is in a certain molecular structure, and the body knows how to take that in. But when you break it up, that's what denaturing is. Now the body has to figure out, you know, getting these different pieces of the protein instead of the protein as a whole to be able to break them down the way that it would into the amino acids that it needs. So I don't know how many problems that is that I've already talked about, but you got the different diet, which led to less nutrient dense dairy product. You got the antibiotics that have been added. Now you got the pasteurization products, or pasteurization of the product. And then the next thing is the homogenization of the product. Basically, people that got away from the farms and weren't used to drinking it right from the cow, they didn't like that the milk was split up, you know, how the fat stays at the top.
Yep.
They wanted it to be kind of uniform.
Mm-hmm. Just be able to, like, pour it out rather than shake it up.
Pour it out
first,
and it doesn't look weird to them, right? So the homogenization process just, like, mixes these things together, makes the bigger fat molecules smaller. So all of that, similar to the pasteurization process, just changes the whole structure of the actual food. And this, they've now studied homogenization enough to know that it is one of the main things that causes leaky gut, or so just damage to any sort of tissue, specifically the gut, but can also get, so there's a specific enzyme that's in it that it creates when you do the homogenization process, that's one of the things that can get into your arteries also and cause either leaky arteries or just increase the plaque content of your arterial plaque, so atherosclerosis and stuff. So yeah, they've kind of made this pretty significant correlation between homogenization process and that happening in people's bodies. So yeah, all of that.
Tons of processing to what used to be a really great real food.
Right, so that's the easiest way to think about it is milk is absolutely real food and a healthy food that you should be taking in, but when it goes through that whole thing, it's now gotten so far away from being that real food that now it's going to be problematic for people.
Yep.
Last thing that I would say is when you take, so all that could happen and then you could have whole milk and it's still going to be something that I would suggest you don't do. But then because of the whole fat is bad, cholesterol is bad thing that's happening in our world, is they want to take the fat out. So then you go from whole milk to 2% to 1% all the way down to skim milk. So you skim off the fat and now you've, again, just taken it further and further away from its original state.
Right.
And now you're having more problems. So when you get all the way down to there, that's why dairy has become a problem for people.
Totally. Yeah. So would you recommend that nobody have conventional dairy? Like, that just shouldn't be in anybody's diet, like, for good health?
Yeah, I don't think you can be healthy and have conventional dairy products in your diet to any, you know, high amount. So if, again, if you go out to a restaurant and you're going to have a cheeseburger, right? If they put, they're probably not going to have raw milk cheese to put on your
cheeseburger,
right? So that goes back to the principle of, you know, there's going to be times where you're eating food that regardless of nutritional value, just because you enjoy the food.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you shouldn't be having conventional dairy in your refrigerator that you're drinking every single day and or eating every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what's going to be problematic.
Shouldn't be part of your regular diet.
Yeah.
For
and
sure.
So that's everybody. I think that was your question.
Yes.
Was.
Right.
That's anybody who wants to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I would say they can't do that. And if you're reading anything or listening to anybody that says that you can, all they're looking at is just a nutrient perspective, right? They can say there's this much protein in milk. There's, you know, well, there's this many vitamins in milk. We used to have it wasn't a huge argument because, you know, don't have significant interaction with these people that were saying it. But there was people coming to a gym for a while that were trying to argue that chocolate milk is the best thing to do after a workout. And where they get that at is like a men's health magazine where it's just going to say, hey, it's the right amount of protein. It's the right amount of sugar that you need after a workout in order to produce, you know, all of these muscle protein synthesis and all that type of stuff. So yeah, you can show that, but then you're forgetting about, okay, this milk has antibiotics, hormones, you know, vaccinations in it. It's lost It has a fatty acid content that makes you inflamed over time. It's been pasteurized, so the protein, even though you can say it has this much protein, it's denatured protein. There's all of these issues that is not figured into how they can say milk is healthy or chocolate milk is even healthy.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I would not. Beyond that, like we talked about in the beginning, there's people who should, even if it's, even none of those things have happened.
Yeah, the really high quality raw dairy still gives some people issues.
Yeah, and that's because either they've had conventional dairy as part of their diet growing up, or it's just part of their typical diet, and if it's fast food or whatever the diet is, that there's led to so much inflammation in their gut that whether it's leaky gut or just an overactive immune system, that they've identified something in the dairy protein, so a protein called casein protein, that the body sees as foreign, mounts a response to it, and then builds antibodies to try to protect it from ever getting exposed to that same protein again. And then now you have some sort of food sensitivity or allergy to the product, that even if it's raw, then now would raw dairy still be better than, you know, skim milk, conventional skim milk for that person? Yes. But more than likely, they're still going to have problems with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. When they heal their gut and follow like a really healing diet, you know, a year later or something, would they be able to potentially work that into their diet?
Yeah, I always have difficulty answering that question because, so the immune system is an amazing thing, right? To be exposed to something, so think like chicken pox, right? You're exposed to chicken pox and then your body attacks it, defends you against it, and then it makes an antibody so that if you ever get exposed to chicken pox again, that it's going to take care of it right away so you don't even have any sort of symptoms. Like, that's an amazing process.
Yes.
So when something like that happens with a food, your immune system's going to remember that food forever, just like it would, you know, the chicken pox virus.
Interesting.
So I want to say, because I believe that the body can heal from anything.
Yeah.
Right? I believe that, you know, it has this amazing healing properties that as long as you remove whatever the interference is to it healing, and then you have enough time. I think I mentioned on here before that, so BJ Palmer is the developer of chiropractic. He was asked, do you, by an interviewer one time, because he was getting all these people healthy and people were traveling in from other countries to see him and all this stuff with significant health issues. And he was asked, do you think that a basketball-sized tumor in somebody's body could heal? And he said, without a doubt, there just has to be enough time. So basically, if they remove the interference, that person would heal, even though, again, they're terminally ill, but they might not have enough time for the body to actually heal before they die of whatever it is. So, So healing is always going to happen, but you just have to have enough time if you can find the interference. So I believe that's the principle that kind of is underneath everything that I would do as a health practitioner. But I also understand that this whole autoimmune issue or food sensitivity thing is kind of built into how the body actually works. So could, if you get, you know, heal your gut, you know, if you avoid it for long enough, do they lose that memory of the antibodies? There's potential for that. I don't think there's been enough, would have been understood this stuff enough to know if that can actually happen. So I want to have hope to say yes, but I also know that it's pretty risky to, because if you do all the work to heal and then, you know, it all goes away because you start adding in one food.
Right.
You know, that's the.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it would be wise to probably, if you're in that situation, like test it out a little bit at a time, see how your body reacts and go from there.
Yep. So if it's just an inflammatory issue and you get rid of all the inflammation that you have in your body or the majority of it, then yes, you could start adding that stuff back in because it was just it was just adding to the inflammation. But if it's actually autoimmunity where your immune system is, identified the protein in the dairy as problematic, then every time you would take in that protein, it's going to mount an immune response. Mm-hmm, so it just kind of depends on which one it is.
Got it. Okay, so I feel like we should talk a little bit more about the kind of dairy that people should seek out and consume.
Yeah.
So we've been talking a lot about the conventional side of dairy and all the things wrong with that, but let's talk more about the raw dairy, like where you even might get that, because it's not legal in all states,
right?
Which is crazy, but that's the world that we live in.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, some of the, do you guys?
Yeah. So drink we don't do raw milk primarily because we, it is somewhat difficult to get. I mean, definitely you can find it, but, it's not just like you can go to the store and purchase it.
Right.
So that's why we don't do a ton of it. But we also just don't do a ton of milk.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, we've done milk alternatives like coconut milk, almond milk, those type of things. So if we ever have like making smoothies or something like that, that's typically what we're using. If we ever are going to use dairy, so the milk of dairy, then we will typically use Kelowna brand dairy, which is one of the more popular ones. So that's going to be vat pasteurized. So it's still pasteurized, but the process, they figured out how to do it in a way where it doesn't completely destroy everything. And then it's non-homogenized, so it gets rid of that homogenized issue. It comes from, you know, grass-fed cows. They're not going to be conventionally raised. And then it's going to be whole milk. So most of the issues that I talked about, something like a Kelowna brand is going to have all of those issues. Excuse me. But yeah, there's ways of, you know, there's farmers that do raw milk.
Yeah.
Some people in our community do.
So we got on that
raw
milk train a couple of months ago. We had just avoided dairy largely in our home for a while. And then I was doing research and was just like, let's try this out. And so there's a farm about maybe an hour away in Illinois that does like raw milk. That's their thing that they do.
Yeah.
And they do like a every other week drop off in town.
Okay.
And so it just comes in like big mason jars. It's like, I imagine it's literally like straight from the udder. It's kind of crazy concept, but yeah. So we pick up our milk every other week at somebody's house, and it is really delicious. And it's super like, I didn't realize how much we had missed having dairy. Mm-hmm. I still don't cook with it because I still don't do it for our kids.
Yeah.
But my husband and I really enjoy it. He actually will have like a big glass of milk as like a nighttime kind of like snack or, you know, something if he's still hungry after dinner, just like pour a big glass of milk and
there you go.
Yeah. And so it's made my husband happier because like he's getting a lot more protein and fat, you know, it's just like an extra thing. And it's also interesting, it tastes different sometimes, which I was reading about this and I now can confirm it based on having it. Like you can tell if the cow had like more grassy diet or more, I don't know, like some weeks it tastes like more grassy than other weeks. Yeah. It's so interesting. But so yeah, we've been doing that. And then for cheese, I'll try if we don't do cheese on a lot of stuff, just we had moved so far away from dairy that like we're used to not having cheese, but I will do like you can find at the grocery store raw cheese.
Right.
It's just kind of pricey. So if you can find it on sale, that's great. But, that's what we do. If we do cheese, I'm sure there's like really awesome people who can make their own, but I have no desire to try to figure out that whole process.
Right.
And then butter is kind of, we just get like the grass-fed, you know, Kerrygold or whatever from Costco.
Yeah.
Is that what you guys do for butter? Or
yep, Kerrygold butter from her. Is it Kerrygold?
Well, they have Costco. The Costco brand, like the Kirkland brand, is also grass-fed.
Yep. So we've done Kerrygold, and then, now that there's a whole Costco thing, do that. Like I mentioned, if we do actual milk, it's typically the Kelowna. And then cheese, raw milk cheese. We'll typically do that. Or there's a Tillamook, I think it is. We'll get that from Costco.
Mm-hmm.
And that's typically like, if we do a sour cream, if we need sour cream for anything, we'll do Kelowna. If there's cottage cheese, we rarely do that stuff. But that is also, they'll be
yogurt
there.
Too, they have.
And yogurt. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's typically the yogurt that we're taking in. Something I should say about the whole milk thing. So the casein protein that I mentioned being problematic, there's probably more than two, but there's two the most well-known two different types of casein. So, and they call it beta casein 1 and beta casein 2. So if you've ever looked at the store and you've seen A2 milk, so that is a form of casein that is not problematic for people. Comes from cows. I think the cows are only found in New Zealand now. But anyway, these cows were the original cows, and one of the reasons why people never had problems with dairy also, at least allergic reactions to dairy. But then with the whole trying to figure out how to have more yields, there was, you know, just mixing up of the breeds, and now there's a breed of cow that's A1 casein, and that's the one that's problematic. So if not that you're going to ask your farmer, or you don't know, like other dairy products that you're taking in, if they're A1 or A2, but there is A2 products now. So you can go to like a Fresh Thyme or Natural Grocers, I'm sure Whole Foods, and find A2 milk. So like if you are a huge milk drinker and you're hearing this and you want to make a shift, like that's also a shift you can make, at least to get rid of the bad casein.
Yeah.
And then if their company has learned all that to make A2, then they're probably also not doing the rest of the stuff as to much as they can anyway. So that's something important. But yeah, if you could find raw milk, absolutely. Of course, raw milk, cheese, you know, great. Yogurts and stuff, because that's going to add the fermentation to it, so more bacteria.
I've made yogurt a couple of times, especially on weeks that we have a hard time getting through all our milk. It's like, oh, I'm going to make some yogurt. And I mean, every time it's been a little bit different. It's definitely a process that you kind of have to figure out, like your fermentation time and what's too long and what's not long enough and all that. But it's turned out pretty good. Right. So
yeah. And the last thing I would say is, if you are somebody who's taking in dairy and you're like, I'm fine with it, try 30 days without it and see what, if you feel anything different. Because a lot of times you think you don't, there's things that are happening that you don't even notice. And then you take it out and you're like, oh man, I'm sleeping way better. I feel so much more energy, whatever it is. Stuff that was on your skin maybe, and you're like, oh, I didn't even know that that was an issue, but now it's gone. That type of stuff will happen. And then after that 30 days, you can start adding in these more quality dairy products, and hopefully that, you know, that stuff doesn't come back and you'll be fine.
Totally. Cool. Well, if you guys have any questions or follow-up things that you want us to talk about on this, let us know. Hopefully this was helpful to you. Share it with somebody that also might find it helpful, and we'll talk to you next time.